This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
At GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku, Professor of Theoretical Physics here at the City College and the City University of New York. And this is Science Fantastic's journey into the world of philosophy. That's right. On Science Fantastic, we've had numerous Nobel Prize winners, directors of major laboratories, astrophysicists who are leaders in their field. But today, believe it or not, we're going to talk about Zen Buddhism. We're going to talk about philosophy. And with us today is Professor Anthony Aguirre, Professor of Physics at the University of California in Santa Cruz. He's the author of an exciting new book about physics and philosophy. The book is called Cosmological Koans, A Journey to the Heart of Physical Reality. And also, if you want to find out more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. On Facebook, we have 3 million fans on Facebook. On Twitter, we have about 1 million people per week that dial into my Twitter feed. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest New York Times bestseller is called The Future of Humanity, Our Destiny in the Universe, talking about the future of the space program. We are entering a second golden era of space exploration, but we're not going to stop at the moon. We're going to go to Mars, perhaps even to the asteroid belt, and maybe one day, perhaps even to the stars. But today, we're going to take a different route to understanding our universe. We're going to bring on a professor of physics at the University of California, Santa Cruz, who's an expert not only in physics, but also in Zen Buddhism. The book is called Cosmological Koans, A Journey to the Heart of Physical Reality. And with us today is Professor Anthony Aguirre, Professor of Physics at the University of California and Santa Cruz. So, Anthony, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
First question for you, in fact, the question that we always ask our guests is, when you were a child, a young boy, what steered you in the direction of science?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because I often say that one of the great influences I had as a child was simply the books on my father's bookshelf. And I'm pretty sure I recall one of those books being by you. So there were great
uh-huh.
There were a great set of books on parallel universes and the Big Bang and so on. And I read them avidly, you know, as a teenager.
Right.
And I think that fascination with those big questions of kind of what's it all about, how did it start, what's the fundamental nature of reality, those stuck with me, you know, all the way. And I discovered an aptitude and excitement about physics in school. I think that just continued with me through high school, college, and so on.
Okay, and what steered you in the direction of physics and eventually philosophy and even Zen Buddhism?
Well, I think first I would say that I'm very much more a physicist than a philosopher or a Zen Buddhist expert. So I just want to make that clear, although I'm definitely interested in both of those things. But moreover, I'd say my personal quest is to sort of understand what is the nature of reality and what does that nature of reality have to do with me as an individual or us as people. And so I see all of those as, I see physics and philosophy, not all of it, but some of it, and practice, like Buddhist practice or Zen practice, as asking that same question, what is the fundamental nature of the reality we inhabit? And going into that question from different standpoints, but all approaching that same question, at least as I see it.
Okay, well, you must encounter a certain amount of antagonism from other physicists whose eyes roll up and they shake their heads when you mention Buddhism. However, we had on the radio Professor Steve Weinberg, Nobel Prize winner, and he wrote a book called Dreams of a Final Theory, and he had a chapter called Against Philosophy. And he went on and on and on, ranted against philosophy. And he's famous for making the statement that, quote, the more we learn about the universe, the more we learn that it's pointless. Do you agree or disagree with a controversial statement made by a Nobel Prize winner, Steve Weinberg?
About the uselessness of philosophy or the pointlessness of the universe? I'd say I agree with
the pointlessness of the universe and also a chapter that he wrote in his book called Against Philosophy. What are your thoughts? But the book, by the way, I should point out, is very philosophical. So he uses philosophy to rail against philosophy.
Agreed. And I think I would take notes also, not just from Steven Weinberg, but from Albert Einstein on this, who, and many of the founders of modern physics were deeply interested in philosophy. I mean, they also saw very little division between the sort of philosophical quest to understand the nature of reality and the physicist quest. And Einstein, of course, was half philosopher, I would say, and had many thought experiments which were practically philosophy thought experiments that underlay his physics thinking. So I think there are certain forms of, you know, philosophical criticism of contemporary science that scientists bristle about and can get upset about for some justification, and that may be part of what's underlying Weinberg's concern. But I think the truth is, as I talk to philosophers of science nowadays, there are many just fantastic ones who understand physics better than some physicists I know, but are looking at it from a different, more foundational perspective, not looking for what is the next, you know, theory of supersymmetric interactions in particles, but, you know, what are the fundamental principles underlying quantum mechanics or statistical mechanics or some other branch of physics. So, and they're very much physicists and philosophers, and I think that's totally appropriate. Now, as to the point of whether the universe is ultimately pointless, I think I may agree that the universe doesn't come intrinsically with some point to it that is built in, and that if we can just discover, we can then accomplish that goal. But that is not to say that the universe doesn't have a point. I think in the same way that we all have to discover what the meaning of life is and the meaning of our life is, society as a whole has to understand what is the good, you know, what is right and what is wrong. These are things that we both discover and create through our individual lives and through the lives of our evolving society. And I think the point of the universe is the same thing. We both create it and discover it in the same way that we discover what is good, what is right, what is interesting. All of these things, they're not things we make up, but I think they're not things that are built into the universe in the same way that the fundamental laws of physics are either. And part of what I explore in my thinking and in the book that I've written is how to think about that, how to think about things that are neither just, you know, subjective inventions nor things that are built into the fabric of the universe, which is
okay,
almost
well,
everything I feel like is in between.
Let's get right into your book then. First of all, your book is based on koans. First of all, what is a koan?
Well, in classical Zen Buddhism, a koan is a sort of teaching tool that a teacher would use to confront a student and to try to spark insight in that student. So it would be kind of a riddle or a sort of impossible statement that boggles the mind. And the hope of that is through enough sort of wrestling with that almost impossible thing to think about that you can reconfigure your thoughts and come at reality and come at that question from an entirely new direction. So
Okay, Anthony, we have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your new book, Cosmological Koans, A Journey to the Heart of Physical Reality. And our special guest today is Professor Anthony Aguirre. So give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Give us a call.
these pains, my neck, my back, shoulders. I've got to get some relief.
Stress from everyday life, past injuries, or surgeries can cause inflammation that leads to pain, but you don't want to take another pill.
There's an easier, healthier way, right?
Yes, with hot or cold therapy products at sunshine-pillows.com.
Pillows? For my aches and pains?
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows, plus travel pillows, microwavable body heating wraps, and more. It's all available to you online.
Finally, stress relief with no drugs.
Right, and now you can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off. Just use this promo code, SAVE30, when you click sunshine-pillows.com. Save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Use promo code SAVE30. Sunshine-pillows.com. Your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is a physics professor, Professor Anthony Aguirre, a professor of physics at the University of California, Santa Cruz, author of a new book called Cosmological Koans, A Journey to the Heart of Physical Reality. That's right. We're talking today about physics and Zen Buddhism. Now, you may say to yourself, what's the difference between the two? Physics apparently deals with materialism. That is, everything can be reduced to material forces that you can measure. We're not talking about ghosts, demons, or anything like that. But then there's Zen Buddhism. And so we'll talk about the relationship, if any, between the two with Professor Aguirre. Now, he starts his book with koans, which are small, little, delightful paradoxes, and perhaps the greatest of all paradoxes of antiquity. A paradox that lasted 2,000 years is called Zeno's Paradox. When I was a kid, I learned Zeno's paradox as follows. Zeno proved 2,000 years ago that you could not cross a river. In fact, you cannot cross anything. Motion is mathematically impossible. Because he said that when you cross a river, you have to go through the halfway point, the eighth point, the 16th point. You have to go through an infinite number of points that comprise the distance across the river. Now, since it takes an infinite amount of time to cross an infinite number of points that make up the river crossing, bingo! The universe cannot move at all. You cannot cross the river. You cannot move. Motion is mathematically impossible. And it took 2,000 years until mathematicians finally figured out why things can move. So, Anthony, what are your take on Zeno's paradox?
Well, I find it delightful because it took... We're totally accustomed to things moving in everyday life. We take it for granted. We feel like we understand it. And yet here was someone who said, well, let's look at this carefully and notice that there are these deep paradoxes associated with that. And you think, oh, I could easily dismiss those, you know, because I know things move. I know what the answer has to be, but it's not so easy. And so a second form of Zeno's paradox was to say, imagine an arrow that's flying. And imagine it at one instant. How fast is it moving? Well, to see how fast something is moving, you have to compare where it is at two different instants. But at one instant, it's only at one place, so it can't be moving. So how can anything ever move? Because at any given time, it's not moving. And this is another one where you find very perplexing when you think about it, and yet you know it has to move. So what's the deal? And this is a great example of a koan because as you think more about it, you see this is a really confusing thing, and yet there has to be a resolution to it if you think more and more about it. But the resolution, you know, turns out to be deeply interesting and important. The resolution to the form of Zeno's paradox that you described took calculus, the invention of calculus by Newton and others to develop and led to much of modern physics, understanding that notion of motion and thinking about how the arrow moves even though at any particular time it's at only one particular place. I think if you ultimately get down to it, has some things to do with both calculus and quantum mechanics. If you think about in quantum mechanics something in a particular place, it also... that the fact of being in a particular place is made of the fact that it's going at very many different speeds. Quantum mechanics is very strange that way. So there's a whole train of thought that you can take starting with Zeno's paradoxes, not just through calculus, but through modern physics and even through quantum gravity, deeper and deeper analyzing the same question. So that's one of the reasons I find that, like some of these other paradoxes, very, very intriguing and delightful.
And it's fascinating because even the mathematicians in the 1800s, mathematicians like Weierstrass, in other words, worked out the rigorous derivation of calculus, showing that it takes a finite amount of time to move through an infinite number of intermediate points. That paradox is still with us when we talk about string theory, which is what I do for a living, that the question is there a minimum unit of string time? And the answer is yes. Called Planck time. And so we're back 2,000 years into the past. We still don't have a rigorous answer to Zeno's paradox. Can you divide the points of a line into an infinite number of intervals? 2,000 years later, we're still struggling with that. Well, you also mentioned Galileo and relative absolute motion and even Einstein. So tell us a little bit about how a Zen Buddhist looks at Galileo and Einstein.
Well, I think that the right lens for many of the questions with Galileo and Einstein is really that of a physicist, mostly. So one of the things that Einstein taught us was the importance of thinking about the observer. So we have a sense that the universe is out there, you know, doing what it does, and an observer has no real role in that. An observer observes. The universe is doing what it does, and we passively take in information about it. And modern physics has changed this view quite substantially, not just in quantum mechanics, where it's very changed, but also in Einstein's theory. So one of the things that Einstein taught us most centrally is that this notion that there's a big clock ticking away in the universe that says, now is moment one, now is moment two, now is moment three, all throughout the universe, there's no such thing. We can carry a clock with us, and that can count away around the seconds. Other people can do that. And we can construct notions of now, but those notions are sort of artificial. The notion of now that I carry with me is different from the notion of now that other people carry. The passage of time is different than other people's if they have a state of relative motion with respect to me. So we can't really agree that there's just one clock ticking away. Clocks are tied inexorably to individual observers. That's the way to do careful physics with clocks, as Einstein has taught us. And so in that sense, there's a sort of undermining of the idea that there is just a one simple objective world. It becomes important to talk about who is doing the describing of the world. Is it this observer or that observer? And as long as we take an observer and say, what do they see, and ask questions of that form, everything makes nice and consistent sense. But we can get into a lot of trouble, Einstein has taught us, if we just make assumptions that there are objective reality qualities out there that accord with the things that we as individual observers feel, like the ticking of a clock. The ticking of a clock is fine for us to say, but if we say the universe has a ticking of a clock, then we get into trouble. So I think there's something then about that.
Now, time beats faster on the moon than on the planet Earth. And your GPS system, which you have in your cell phone, could not work unless it compensated for the fact that our satellites, GPS satellites, have to take into account the fact that objects slow down in time the faster they move. So a Zen Buddhist, would they say that absolute motion, absolute time does not exist, that everything is relative?
Well, I think Einstein would say that, and I think most physicists would say that, and I think that's the important consideration here. So I think, again, there's an analog in that I think what Buddhism to me is about, or what is interesting in the Zen practice, is to think about what is the relation between me as a subjective, you know, conscious observer looking out into the world and that world itself. What is the relation there? Am I merely a passive bystander? Everything goes by and some information comes in and I think, oh, look, there's a chair, there's a table, there's the moon, there's my GPS. Or is it something more participatory? What exactly is that relation? And so I think that's a big question, but I think one of the aspects of it when you look at physics are things like the notion that individual observers really have to think about their own clocks. And you can't think about the cosmic clock ticking away that we just note on our local clocks. That we really have to think of the clock that each observer or each object or whatever carries around with them. And I think that there's a parallel with the question of the questions that Zen Buddhism asks. What is the relation between the individual, the observer, and the universe?
Now, Zen Buddhism also is concerned with what is an illusion and what is reality. And we once thought that gravity as an attractive force was reality, but then along comes Einstein who says, no, that's the illusion. So, well, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of Zen Buddhism and modern physics. The book is called Cosmological Koans, A Journey to the Heart of Physical Reality. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-835. And maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
The Pentagon is sending an additional 1,500 troops to the Middle East. President Donald Trump says it's part of a mostly protective effort to deter Iranian threats.
They cannot have nuclear weapons, and under the Obama horrible agreement, they would have had nuclear weapons within 5 or 6 years.
The Pentagon announced Friday that Iran's Revolutionary Guard is responsible for attacks on 4 tankers at a port in the United Arab Emirates. The man who admitted to kidnapping Jamie Kloss and murdering her parents last fall in Wisconsin appeared in court Friday and was sentenced to life in prison without parole. Attorney Chris Scanstrup read a statement from Kloss.
He stole my parents from me. He stole almost everything I loved from me. For 88 days, he tried to steal me, and he didn't care who he hurt or who he killed to do that.
Jamie escaped from Patterson's remote cabin after being held captive for 88 days. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about something that we normally don't talk about, and that is the relationship between physics and reality and philosophy, specifically Zen Buddhism. Now, physicists like to appear to be against philosophy, but in principle, they are very philosophical. Einstein, for example, once said that philosophy at first appearance looks like honey, but the more you learn about it, the more it turns into mush. So Einstein publicly was skeptical of philosophy, but when you read his works, they are not just philosophical, but they're also spiritual, and they go right to the heart of what is reality and what is not reality. So what is an illusion and what is real? There's a famous story of three Buddhist monks looking at a waving flag. The first Buddhist monk would say that the flag is moving. The second monk would say, no, 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 it is the wind that is moving. And then the third monk would say, no, it is the mind which is moving. So what is an illusion and what is reality? Let's talk about gravity. Newton said that the reality is gravity is a force of attraction, but it's invisible. No one can see it. It's things moving at a distance without being pushed. He was criticized for that. Well, Einstein comes along and says, well, yeah, the attraction of gravity is an illusion. So, Anthony, tell us about curved space and Einstein's theory and Zen Buddhism.
I completely agree that this is a great example of how the most everyday experiences sort of are a thin veneer over a much deeper and more mysterious explanation behind them. So one place I like to start is with Galileo's famous experiment dropping things off the Tower of Pisa. It didn't actually happen, but so it's apocryphal. But you can imagine dropping a wooden ball and a lead ball off the top of the tower and asking which one will hit the ground first. And Aristotle, for 2,000 years, had a very clear answer to this question. The lead ball would hit much earlier than the wooden one. It was much heavier. It was more strongly attracted to the earth. The wooden one, less heavy, less strongly attracted to the earth. The lead ball would clearly hit first. Galileo was skeptical of this and in fact, proved through experiments that they would hit at exactly the same time. And this is very strange because we think a ball is so heavy, it would move really quickly toward the earth. But on the other hand, if you think about it, a heavy ball is also very hard to move. And so what he showed is that the difficulty of moving a heavier ball exactly, precisely, 100% compensates for the fact that it's more attracted to the earth so that they fall at exactly the same rate. And this is a fact that sat around for a few hundred years. Newton knew that this was true. Galileo knew that it was true. Nobody had an explanation for it. But Einstein came along and beautifully, elegantly explained this by saying that when something falls, it has nothing to do with what sort of object it is, because the fact that something falls has to do with the space-time that it's moving through, nothing to do with the actual properties of the object. And so by reconceptualizing gravity as a change in space-time, he gave this beautifully elegant explanation for this paradox or this strange fact that had been sitting around, again, for several hundred years. So what this illustrates to me is both the fact that there are just aspects of everyday life that we're so used to, but hide deep mysteries, and also as we reconceptualize things in a new theory of physics, it sort of completely reconfigures those questions and gives us a new, much more satisfying explanation for some things that have seemed mysterious before. And what other things like that are lying around?
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letter to the radio station or the website you're listening to and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question, and perhaps you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Anthony Aguirre, author of a new book called Cosmological Koans, A Journey to the Heart of Physical Reality. And a koan is a short, delightful paradox, a paradox that illustrates something very deep about existence, about the nature of reality. Well, perhaps one of the biggest debates that still goes on even today in the annals of physics and philosophy is the question of free will or determinism. Are we robots simply obeying Newton's laws of motion? Is the universe a clock? A clock that God wound up at the beginning of time? Or is there free will? This affects modern civilization today because why do we put people in jail? Einstein believed that everything is deterministic, that it was destined for that criminal to commit that crime. It wasn't his or her fault, really. But why do we put them in jail? We put them in jail because they are a menace to society. They can hurt people. That's why we put them in jail, not because they're evil, not because, but because of the fact that they were determined by the laws of chemistry and the laws of physics to commit the crime. So what does Zen Buddhism say about free will, determinism, and quantum mechanics?
I think most Zen Buddhists would be as confused as everybody else about exactly what the question is. One of the interesting things about discussions of free will is everybody's conception of what exactly that question means tend to be sort of different, and people tend to talk past each other. So I like to think about it as there are some particular things that we might ask. For example, do I feel like I'm free to make a decision, or do I feel like I'm coerced into making a decision? You know, sometimes one, sometimes the other, but in general, I feel like I can make a free decision. Do I feel like, is it possible to predict what my decision is going to be if you're some external agent? You know, could the most powerful supercomputer in the world who hooked up to my neurons predict what I'm going to decide about something? That's another thing you could ask. You can ask, when I make a decision, are there reasons for that decision that I believe in? Can I explain what that decision is, or does it sort of have some sort of random element to it? And I think in this sense, we have free will, in the sense that all three of those things are true. I think it is impossible, given the nature of quantum mechanics, which says that the universe has randomness to it, and the nature of how brains and chemistry and all those things work, that there's no way that a computer is going to be able to make perfectly accurate predictions of the future and predict the whole sequence of events with perfect precision that are going to happen in any physical system. And we feel like we're free, and we feel like we make decisions for reason. So in those senses, I believe there is free will. Now, there's another question, you know, is somehow, does the universe know what we're going to do? Is our decision pre-made in the sense that it exists somewhere in the future? And again, I think quantum mechanics simply says that this is not true, in that one of the many things that quantum mechanics tells you is that the state of the universe now, as it describes, you know, the room you're sitting in or something like that, evolves into many different possibilities for what the room will look like 10 minutes from now. That is simply what quantum mechanics says. And there is not a single unique connection between the state of the room as you experience it and the state of the room 10 minutes from now in quantum mechanics. For a room, those differences will be very small, but if you carry them forward to days or weeks or years, there will be completely different futures, all of which follow from the same present that you're living in. So I think quantum mechanics simply says that there is no such thing as a unique future to the world that you experience that exists, say, a year from now.
Well, this debate is rocking the world of artificial intelligence, because these people want to create a robot that is human-like. But you see, robots are deterministic. They have no free will. They do what they're told. You can predict what a robot is going to do in the future. So if a human can be approximated by a robot, and robots have no free will, then maybe humans have no free will. But Roger Penrose, Oxford physicist, says, bah, humbug. We have free will because the brain is quantum mechanical. Somewhere in the brain, we have the quantum theory. Well, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of, is it your fault? Are you the master of your fate, or are you a puppet like a robot? Well, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks, so it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Professor Anthony Aguirre, Professor of Physics at the University of California at Santa Cruz. His book is called Cosmological Koans, A Journey to the Heart of Physical Reality. Well, we're talking about paradoxes, and one of the greatest of all paradoxes is called Olber's Paradox. In fact, I think about this at night when I take a shower. I really think about this, because common sense says the universe is infinite and uniform. That's a very innocent assumption. But you see, if the universe is uniform and infinite, it means that everywhere you look, you'll see a star, which means that an infinite amount of starlight will hit your eyeball everywhere you look, which means that the sky should be white, not black, and your eyeballs should melt. Well, the night sky is black. So how is it possible that the night sky could be black if the universe is infinite and uniform? So, Anthony, what are your thoughts about how Zen Buddhists look at one of the great paradoxes of cosmology? Why is the night sky black?
Well, this is another one of those great instances where, as you say, just the most familiar everyday experience, if you go through a careful thought process, reveals deep truths about what the universe's structure is. And, you know, that it has to either be expanding or have a finite beginning some time ago or both, and that it can't be the sort of intuitive model that you'd guess of an infinite homogeneous sea of stuff. Even Einstein got this wrong, so we can be forgiven for thinking that. I find it fascinating for that reason, that it really took the invention of modern cosmology, the expanding universe and the finite 13.8 billion years ago, that we can look back through the universe as it has been expanding, to resolve this paradox and produce a pleasing resolution that there just isn't any infinite sea of stars out there. But what I find extra fascinating about this question is that where physics has gone after that, that after the Big Bang theory in more recent times, we're starting to see the Big Bang as just part of a much bigger picture. That the Big Bang is a local thing that happens. It covers everything that we can see, everything that we can observe in our universe, and yet there may be something much, much bigger, a multiverse, in which our Big Bang is just one of infinitely many instances where something like the observable universe appears. And so we get a picture where there's a finite beginning to the universe, 13.8 billion years ago, the universe that we see, but the universe as a whole is much, much larger and really is infinite and timeless in sort of the way that intuitively people thought of before, and maybe some Eastern cosmologies, which had a much more expansive view of the universe, might have thought. But it's a strange way, sort of both. There's expansion, there's infinity of stuff, there's infinity of time, but locally there's a finite thing and a resolution to this Olber's paradox.
Now, if you talk to a Buddhist, they will say that Buddhism is quite clear on this question. There is no beginning, there is no end, there's just nirvana, states of consciousness. So how do you reconcile that with the Big Bang?
Well, I think there is a place to talk about the nature of reality as, in the sort of on the mental side of things, and a place to talk about it on the physical side of things. And I think the people to answer what is the nature of reality on the physical side are physicists. And I think there's a, but I think there's a huge amount of insight in what is the makeup of reality on the mental side that comes from contemplative traditions like Buddhism and Zen. So I think in terms of the experience of reality that we have, it's much more interesting to talk to, you know, the actual subjective experience. It's more interesting to talk, I think, to people who have been delving into that, spending hours and hours a day dissecting how they experience the world, than it is to talk to a physicist. When thinking about what is the, you know, what is the Hubble size of the universe now? What happened 13.8 billion years ago? What is the dark matter? Talking to a Buddhist is somewhat less interesting. They simply have, they have not focused their attention on that. So I'm a believer in, trying to see things from many lenses, I also think for particular questions you want to go to the right expert. So I think those questions are somewhat on different planes of discussion. There's a mental and sort of spiritual world, and there's a physical world. I'm very interested in how those are connected with each other, but I don't think that it's worth asking, you know, taking statements from each one and trying to compare them with each other in that sense. I think the interesting questions are, what does our personal experience have to do with the universe as a whole and as a physical system? And there are lots of questions in that space. The question of free will.
Let me just say one thing really quick. Personally, I was raised, just for full disclosure, I was raised as a Presbyterian, but my parents were Buddhists. And in Buddhism, there is no beginning, there is no end, there's just nirvana. In Christianity, there is a beginning, like Genesis, like the Big Bang. So, which is correct? It seems to me that both could be correct, because our universe had a beginning. Our universe had a Big Bang, but there are other universes out there. String theory, for example, predicts perhaps an infinite number of parallel universes, but they all exist in a much larger nirvana, with no beginning, no end, and that is 11-dimensional hyperspace. So in some sense, our universe is a bubble that's expanding, but there are other bubbles out there in a larger arena. The larger arena is nirvana, and nirvana would be 11-dimensional hyperspace. And that our universe did have a beginning. There was a genesis, there was a Big Bang, but it coexists with a multitude of other universes in a timelessness where there is no time, there is no beginning, there is no end, just nirvana. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. So, Anthony, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.
And once again, the book is called Cosmological Koans, A Journey to the Heart of Physical Reality. And you can give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.